In today's episode of the Chrysalis Conversations, I'm joined by the fabulous Jade and Sarah for part three of our four-part feature episodes all about working a little bit smarter. Hi, I'm Nikki Collinson-Phoenix, business owner, serial goal-getter, adventure seeker, chaser of dreams, humanitarian, and believer that anything is possible. In this podcast, I will bring you conversations around transforming your business and life through strategy, mindset, kindness, compassion, freedom, happiness, and contribution for myself and for many others who have walked their own path of transformation and discovery. Because life is short and life is precious, and in the time you have on this earth, I want to give you the tools so that you too can believe anything is possible and for you to achieve your own version of success and happiness, both in your work and your life. So are you ready to shine, transform and live your best life? Then welcome to the Chrysalis Conversations. All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of the Chrysalis Conversations. I am absolutely thrilled to be here with you today. I am still in Bulgaria at the moment. We'll be shifting soon. We're heading up north to Romania, so I shall be coming to you from Romania with the rest of our episodes for the next couple of months. So as normal on some of these episodes, you may have a little bit of background noise. That's just what goes with coming to you from a campsite. So if that happens, roll with it. Don't worry. This is good old imperfect action. I will also let you know that you might hear me have a little bit of a cough today. I might have to stop and have a little swig of water because I am currently recovering from a lovely virus that me and the fam got last week that knocked us absolutely flat. And talking is not the strongest thing for me to do right now with my cough. So if I do have to have a swig of water, again, just roll with it. So today then is number two of our four feature episodes, which is all around creating recurring revenue, working a little bit smarter in your business, and just looking at how you can look at different business models and ways that you can change up your income, ways that you can impact more people, and ways that you can perhaps just actually take a bit more control over your work, your income and your impact. So I am absolutely thrilled to have two amazing people with me today to share their story. So firstly, I would like to welcome the fabulous Jade Redfern. Hello, Jade. How are you today?
Hi, good. Thank you. Very good.
So Jade is a clinical psychologist and a parent coach, and she is based in Farnham in Surrey. And she's going to talk to you a little bit about her business in a minute, but I'm absolutely thrilled to have her with me today. And I'm also joined by the lovely Sarah Webster. Hey, Sarah, how are you today?
Hello, very well, thank you. Hope you are too.
Yeah, I'm getting there. I'm a hell of a lot better than I was last week. So Sarah is in County Durham. You're going to hear this lovely accent. I do love an accent, as Sarah's going to be talking with us. And she is an in-house dog groomer. Her business is Hounds at Home. And we're going to learn a little bit more about that. So, guys, at some point, you decided to explore creating different revenue streams, recurring revenue, passive income, whatever it is that you want to call it. But before we actually go on to the journey of the why and what you've been doing, what I'd really like you to share is, can you tell me a little bit about what your current, your business model had been up until you started on this journey? So Jade, I'm going to come to you first. Up until you started exploring these other things, has your business been predominantly just a standard one-to-one model, or had you dabbled in some of this stuff before? Can you tell us a little bit about what your business model was to start with?
Yeah, so my business model has always been around working with parents and adults in terms of one-to-one therapy. Mm-hmm. And since the pandemic, majority of that work's been online. And I think I have dabbled around in terms of setting up groups for people in the past, but that was when I was working within the NHS. Since working privately, most of what I've been offering has just been on a one-to-one basis for therapy or for coaching.
And just while you're talking about, you know, what your business, can you tell us a little bit about actually what you do? Obviously, you're a clinical psychologist, you're a parent coach. That gives it a little bit away that some of the stuff is to do with parenting. But what is your kind of area of expertise? Because I know that's been part of your journey, is actually homing in on the key people that you really love to impact. So who are your people that you work with?
So I really love to work with kind of high striving, ambitious people who perhaps struggle bringing in as much of kind of a calm and confidence and joy into their lives. And particularly when becoming parents, I've always worked in a very trauma-informed way. And all that means is that, you know, we all have trauma wounds. We all have invisible wounds that go back to our childhoods. And I've always worked in a way, rather than just treating the symptoms, really getting to the kind of root cause of what might be going on. And a real passion of mine since becoming a parent was really seeing these kind of generational stuck patterns kind of passed on from generation to generation. And just how hard it is for the modern mum these days to break free from some of those patterns. So that's become a real passion of mine, is to help people become more aware, more consciously aware of these patterns, and make the changes, at least not for themselves, but for their kids and all future generations to come.
I have to say, I find the whole thing around generational patterns really, really interesting. Like when I've actually taken the time to look back over some of my generational stuff, it's really interesting. And even with my work in Uganda, I clearly see how what we're trying to do with some of the work out there is break generational patterns. So it is really, really interesting. Thanks, lovely. So predominantly then, Jade, it has been a one-to-one business model, whether it's been online or face-to-face, it's been one-to-one. Thank you. Sarah, tell me a little bit about your work and your business, because I'm talking to who are the people you want to impact the most, but I would actually say who are the four-legged ones you want to impact the most, because they come first with the owner second, huh?
Definitely, yeah. So the whole model behind the in-house dog grooming really is a lot of my clients, the four-legged variety, are nervous dogs or maybe reactive dogs. And going into a grooming salon with all the associated noises, maybe another dog, and you know, all the levels of excitement or sometimes fear that there might be there is too much for them to deal with. And so my whole concept is that I go into the house, the home, it's a home environment that they're happy with, they're used to, they know the owner's next door in the kitchen making a cup of tea or whatever. And it's a lot better of an environment for them. A lot of time we don't find that they're as stressed out as they maybe would be. I've had stories of owners that have maybe taken them to a grooming salon, and obviously the dogs themselves have just been overwhelmed, really.
I tell you, I can totally relate to that, like massively, because as someone that was also a veterinary chiropractor, there were several times over the years of working where I was actually offered to work in a veterinary surgery. I was offered space in a veterinary surgery and I said no, because, you know, I know for my own animals and in general that, you know, taking animals to a vet surgery and it's on high alert, which is not conducive with doing, you know, physical therapy on a dog that is tense. And so I always said, like, in principle, that would be great, because if I was in one place, I could see more people. But actually, for the outcome of the animal that I was working with, I needed to be in their own home where they were the most relaxed, etc. And then also I could spot things that could be some triggers. For example, laminate flooring. That was one of the things, you know, you'd have a someone would say, I've got no idea why, you know, my dog's, you know, really painful in its back or something like that. And then I'd watch them like slide it out on some laminate flooring or come down wooden stairs and wipe out. And I'm like, perhaps that might be a problem in here. So I totally understood. I made the decision that I would always work in somebody's home, albeit I couldn't see as many people. it worked better for the dogs themselves. So I totally get where you're coming from. When you look at your business model up until you started on this little journey that you've been on right now, has it been predominantly as in somebody has booked an appointment and you've gone to that one appointment? So it's one client at a time.
Yes. Yeah. So obviously we've got the one-on-one and that's all I can do. They might have the two dogs in the same household, but yeah. I am at one location.
Yeah.
Before moving on to another location, you've got to account for the travel and everything. So as you've said yourself, just they can't see as many people as you would if they were coming to you, but yeah. It doesn't sit right with me. I want to do what I feel is best for the dogs and yeah. work with them that way. So although I can't see as many people, going into their home works best, but very yeah. much one-on-one there.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. So when you then decided to get involved in sort of working on recurring revenue streams, looking at how you could switch up your work or bring added products, services, offers, etc. into your business to bring in some other different revenue streams or to work more in a group basis. What was it that motivated you to think, I need to consider this? Was it the fact that you'd were currently hitting an income ceiling, as in the fact there was only so many hours in the day for you to only see so many animals? So therefore, you know, the only way you could earn more was to work longer. Were you motivated by history of injury, illness, or the pandemic, or just finances? What was the thing that made you go, do you know what? I think I need to start looking how I can bring other stuff into my business.
Really, there are only so many dogs I can visit in a day. Bending over someone's bath, obviously the table itself in a salon, you could have a hydraulic lifting table, you'd have a raised bath to wash them in. However, obviously doing it in-house, I'm bending over people's baths, I have my own portable table, which although I've got the elephant feet on the bottom, it's not quite as good for my back. So there are only so many I can see that way without putting pressure on my back, really, which is where my point is that I seem to get issues with that. So
yeah.
I knew that I needed to find something else, you know, to work alongside that I could. And so the recurring revenue sort of seemed very interesting thing to look
yeah.
into.
Definitely. And that definitely is someone who, you know, has her own backstory as well. I can again totally relate to where that comes from, that at some point, you know, there is a physical demand. If you're in a job that has a physical element to it, there is at some point we have to that catches up with you. And like you say, if your working environment is changing all the time, you have to make sure that you're going to be able to do this for many years to come. Do you know what I mean? So you have to find a way to look after yourself as well as bust through that income ceiling, because, you know, we want to have that work-life balance. We don't want to just keep, as much as we like our job, we don't necessarily just want to keep working more hours in order to increase our income. So totally get where you're coming from. Jade, what about you? What was the motivator for you? Because obviously you've got this successful business, but you are working in a one-to-one business model. What was it that made you go, maybe I need to have an explore of some other ways of delivering my work?
Yeah, gosh, so there's so many reasons. I think the first one that stands out to me was I became really interested in the idea around developing a regenerative practice, because for me, like, I was seeing more and more people were contacting the practice for help for themselves or even for their children, because I have associates who work for me who help the children with their mental health as well. And then we started a small waiting list, which just didn't feel right, because, yeah. you know, having people kind of sitting on waiting lists and not being able to offer them the support that they need. So I think that idea also around, yeah, like you were saying earlier, Nikki, like the financial side of things, you know, there is only one people you can help, and not just from a time perspective, but from an energy perspective, because for me, the work that we do is emotionally demanding, and I absolutely love it. But for me to give my clients my all, I also need, you know, rest and recuperation myself, you know, in between clients, and, you know, look after my own mental health. And that's really important to me. So I think it's being able to kind of expand what we're able to offer. The other thing for me is that so much of what I do on a one-to-one, yes, it's very individual, but at the same time, there's so much, there's still so much stigma, there's still so much shame, there's still so much feeling quite disconnected when working with people who are struggling with their mental health, especially in motherhood. And I really want to be able to benefit people in sort of small groups and still having a safe place, but where people can feel connected, because I think that just has such a profound impact on how we feel and how we move forward with the problems that we're having.
I think you're right. I think even, you know, there's something that, you know, even I get now, you go into a supermarket, for example, or you go to the beach, or you go in a shop and you hear a parent having an issue or some challenge with their child and trying to resolve it, and they are saying the same words that you say. There is something really empowering that just says, I'm not alone. You know, I'm not alone. It's because sometimes you can be so consumed in the challenges that you're having within your own family unit, not realizing that sometimes they're very common themes. And if you can draw on support from other women as well, to be able to say, whilst you're going through your own journey, you can bring other women together and help them create these support networks that let them know that this is not an individual problem. This is a very common, you know, challenge or phase or whatever it is as a parent that you're going through. That's actually really powerful, isn't it? Because sometimes if you are just working one-to-one, that person could still think it's just my problem without realizing is quite a universal challenge.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think part of the work I do is very much save, and though, you know, I'm a clinical psychologist, I'm a parent coach, I've worked in this area for years, but when I became a parent, it floored me.
Yeah.
You know, despite having all the skills and experiences that I had, and for me, connection was everything. And I think with social media these days, you know, we can sometimes put out there this portrayal of the perfect parent or the perfect business or whatever it might be, and that curse of comparison. So it's really dear to my heart to bring people together in a safe space, and learn and grow and develop together.
I also really liked what you were talking about how, you know, it's almost like responding to the need when it comes to, you talk about the waiting list and stuff, is being able to say to people, okay, perhaps right now you can't get in the appointment with us, but you could be doing this, this, and this. So you are able to offer people something rather than nothing, not rather than just sit on a waiting list and wait for a gap. I mean, I certainly know, you know, in the UK right now, when it comes to mental health support and stuff, there is a massive shortage on all levels. There are people that are struggling and really suffering because they can't get access. But access to something is better than access to nothing, isn't it?
Absolutely. And I think just also my point around building regenerative practices, I'm also seeing a huge amount of burnout in therapists and psychologists and counsellors, and, you know, and I think it's because people are desperately wanting to see more on that one-to-one basis. And it's just not regenerative. You know, we're ending up seeing the therapists themselves go off sick or put themselves under so much pressure that they're burning out. So it's really, you know, it's a real passion of mine to think how I can make our practices much more regenerative.
So that's exciting. It's like great motivational reasons for both of you. Completely valid and important points. And now, Sarah, what I'd like to know is, what kind of things are you exploring? Are you working on to create some of this stuff? What have you been looking at? You may not have launched anything yet, or you may not have put anything out, but what kind of the ideas that you're coming up with on this journey?
So there are a couple of ideas at the moment. Because obviously I work with the nervous dogs, and I sort of approach that from more of a dog-centered, heart-led way, really. Sort of. So it's do I focus on that route? Do I produce, you know, have a group or a community of people who are in the same boat? I mean, I had a really nervous dog myself, and it's a very lonely place to be, You think you're the only one with this dog that can't cope with the world, and you see everyone else out with their dogs having fun and there's no issue, and you're there with your dog hiding behind the curtains in case another dog walks by the window or something like that. So, like I say, it was quite lonely. So do I focus on that and build a community of people who are looking to approach the dog from that a more of a holistic way, with sort of a Reiki as well,
yeah,
something like that? Or there's a few people that are maybe more interested in grooming, learning how to maybe groom their dogs a little bit from home. Maybe they don't have someone that does in-house dog grooming and the whole experience is too much for their dog. They've maybe tried to increase their confidence through, you know, but it just doesn't work. So they need to know themselves how they can deal with the grooming aspect of them at home. So I don't know. There's a few little things that I've got at the moment. So
I'm not both of them actually really valuable. Like both of them massively valuable. Because, you know, if you've got somebody that is, if you've got a person who is, you say, trying to navigate having a nervous dog, then that is a challenge in itself. And if you can help them from a holistic perspective to work through that, that's amazing. Equally, somebody who you say may not have access to an in-house groomer, or somebody who, you know, maybe can't afford for you to come out right now, but would like to learn how to care for their dog in a better way. That's scope for loads of different options in there that you can do. So all of them, absolutely amazing. So have you started that Facebook group yet?
I've got a group. Yeah. There's myself in there and my husband so far, but it's on my jobs to do this week. I'm starting to create a bit of content and everything to start in there. I've got my lead magnet to start sending out and everything. So I need to get the group off the ground, really. And
okay, so what I'm going to say to you then, Sarah, is when this podcast goes out live and I'm going to be sharing your links, I want to be sharing your links to your Facebook group and to your lead magnet. All right. Okay. So then we can put that out and start, you know, being able to start that community, get you started on it. So that's fantastic. I will come back to you in a moment. Jade, what about you? What are you working on, lovely? What ideas? I know we've had a chat, but for people listening, what you've been working on?
Yeah, so I've got all sorts of ideas. At the moment, I'm at the kind of initial stage of really building the community, a community of parents, who are really curious and intrigued and want to develop their own self-awareness. Kind of in the realm of conscious parenting, so becoming more conscious in the way that we parent. And some of that work does involve reparenting ourselves. Mm. That doesn't necessarily mean that we've had terrible or even abusive childhoods, but just that we're doing things differently now. And I'm a massive believer in that kids don't do what we say. Certainly mine don't. They do what we do. Yeah. And so I really want to put out some workshops and courses, and I've got some ideas for some small group coaching packages for parents, because a lot of parents will come to me and say, I want my kid to feel this, or I want my kid to be more confident. And I just know that parents are the key, that if I can help parents bring more calm, confidence and joy into their lives, mm-hmm. I know that that will bring more calm, joy and confidence into their kids' lives. So that's kind of where I'm at, really. I'm just at the building a community of parents where we can do this together.
Well, good. Make sure that you're going to send me that community so we can put that in the show notes for people to eat. You've just made me chuckle about something that I was reading that a friend posted the other day, and it was along the lines of she's got a teenage daughter who is, you know, quite strong-willed, I guess we would say. And I equally have a 10-year-old strong-willed, and she was kind of doing a few emojis about, like, obviously they'd had a little bit of a clash, and it was all about actually when you realize that the girl you're raising, or you're trying to raise, a very strong, independent daughter who thinks on her own two feet, you know, you really want to raise that person, And then you realize you're raising that person because it's coming right back at you, you know. And it was really made me chuckle, but it was very interesting because it certainly makes you look at things a little bit differently. When I look at some of the things that my daughter's saying to me right now, I'm like thinking, that's, you're possibly asking me these questions and challenging me on this stuff because that's how I want you to ask questions and I want you to challenge, and therefore you're doing it back at me. And so it just makes you look at things a little bit differently when you realize that, you know, your child, like you say, is more a product of your, what you do and your actions than what you say, because like you say, they don't listen to any of that. So yeah, really, really, really great stuff. I love it. So I am coming back to you now, Sarah. When you think about the next 3 to 5 years, what's your vision for your business? What does it look like in the future? When you think about what you're doing now, you think about the stuff that you've been working on and the ideas that you've got, what is your bigger vision for your business? What do you want it to look like?
Obviously there's the limit that I can do anyway, one-to-one, as we just discussed before, but I would really, my heart, just want to be able to
do you want to continue doing the one-to-one stuff at the volume you're doing right now, or would you like to still love doing it, but do you have an aim to reduce some of the one-to-one so that some of your other work is more group-based work?
Yes, yeah, definitely. I mean, we don't know what's, you know, what's around the corner. I mean, doing what you're doing there, traveling around, living in a van, that looks very very nice. Definitely,
it's very challenging, but it's good fun.
Yes,
it's an adventure. Yeah.
So, but that's, you know, that's possible by doing something. So there is that, you know, there would be that option. And, you know, 3 to 5 years is a long time. I don't quite know where I'd be myself, et cetera. But I think that would open up a lot more opportunities and possibilities by having the recurring revenue stream there. And, you know, if I needed to reduce, I probably would reduce the one-to-one that I do. And if it needed to reduce even further, you know, there is that option.
It's kind of like building, you know, you've got one that's very established, but if in the future, you know, the other one can come up the other side. And if you are able to do some work that involves the online space, one of the things that it does do is obviously give you a little bit of geographical freedom, because then obviously when you don't need to solely be face to face with somebody or with an animal working, then obviously you're a little bit more freer to go and explore the travel. You could also be an on tour groomer, like you could just go global and international, you know that. And there are people that I always remember years ago, this is not a groomer, but this is, oh, we're talking like 10, 12 years ago, one of the networks I was in, there was a photographer and she was based in America and she was growing her business. And she had predominantly just worked in a studio where she was. And as she started building her online presence and showcasing some of her work and stuff like that, you know, more and more people were really interested in her style of photography and her as a person and things like that. And she would get, because I was in the same network as her, and I kind of observed it from afar, and I was watching people going, oh, if only you, like, you know, would come to France, I'd love to have you take my pictures, or if you come to Norway, or if you come to Australia, I wish you were in Australia. And the more and more it built up, she actually just put out one day and said, right, if you want me to go, this is what I'm going to do. And she put out this thing and she said, right, I'm going to be like in France on this day, and I'm going to be in Italy on this day, and I'm going to be on Australia on this day, and I'm going to be in New Zealand on this. And she put something like just 6 dates out. And do you know what? And she just did one day studio shoots in these different places. And do you know what? They were gone like that. So all of a sudden she went from working in this studio to now being like an international photographer that went, got to enjoy travel, which was important to her, and got to then spread her photography around the world, you know. And then after that, you know, she realized that she could do that. And so she was doing it. And now she just, that's what she does. And I haven't been on her wavelength for the last, not so much in her network, the last more recent years, but I've always remembered that actually if your value is there and if people know about you and if people like what you do and they trust you, like people will, you know, pay to see you in different countries. And at one point I couldn't do it in the end, sadly. I was asked to go out to Cyprus and treat some horses. Unfortunately, I couldn't align everything up, but I did sit and think, and obviously I've treated horses in Uganda when I've been working, and I've treated horses in other countries when I've been around, and I've treated some on the travels just briefly. But in general, any profession really, if you think outside of the box, has the capacity to travel, providing, you know, you're within your scope of like licenses. Like I couldn't be hands-on chiropractor traveling. I could possibly be a physical therapist. I would just have to change my titling and my licensing and things like that. But so there is definitely scope at some point with your travel. You could even go international grooming, which could be really exciting. So lots of things to look forward to for you over the next few years. Now, Jade, what about you? Where do you see things over the next 3 to 5 years?
Yeah, so it's just all really exciting, really, because I think, you know, like we've been saying, you don't really know where things will end up. I think for me, a few things that are important to me is just building the community, because I've got lots of ideas around what courses I think might be helpful. But I really want to kind of learn from my community what they want and be able to then respond to that. So I just really want, as I said, a regenerative practice that is responsive to the needs, because they're often changing. And I just want to be able to offer variety, because, you know, parents at different points in their journey or different points in their life with their kids, you know, need different things. So being able to offer mini workshops or slightly longer courses or small group coaching packages, just having variety for people to pick and choose what would work for them. And for me, like, community and connection is everything. I really hope maybe one day I'll be doing my own podcast.
Is what I wanted to ask. What about you? So you've told me lots about what you want to see for the business and for the community and for the people that you impact. But what about you? Where are you potentially in 3 years' time in the life stuff away from the business? What would you like to be doing?
Yeah, so I think, like, being able to feel like I can... I think that whole works smarter, so that actually the time off that I take off, you know, I'm not feeling, you know, guilty for it. I'm able to really enjoy it and bring more joy into my life outside of work. And I think, you know, my business is very much around helping parents do that and connect with their kids more. And, you know, sometimes I find myself thinking, well, the irony of that is I'm working really hard. I'm working late nights. You know, I'm not putting my kids to bed because I've got to get this piece of work done.
Yeah.
So I think just having more of that, I don't know if we ever have complete balance, but just figuring out being able to kind of juggle these different things, hold my ambition. But just, yeah, I don't know.
It's a little bit of harmony between the two, isn't it? Because I do think, you know, we use the word balance a lot, but that balance is, we can never aim for this, but we can aim for this kind of, there's always a bit of a fluidity in it, but
And having that flexibility for me, having the different streams of revenue is what I think will give me and my family flexibility, so that when, and I've got a bit of cushion space, you know, like if my kids are poorly or if we need to do something, like, you can kind of flex around your work. I think that's so important for family life, to have that flexibility.
Yeah. I mean, it's certainly something that when we designed our new life on the road, it had to encompass fluidity between kids schooling, me working, husband working, but also being able to embrace the whole thing, the whole adventure. Otherwise, what was the point if we were just gonna work in a different location but not actually get the benefit from it? So I totally get that. Jade, I'm gonna come to you first for this last question now. Through this journey so far, and I know that you're still very much on the journey, and now you've started to even open your mind to possibility, that journey will never end because it will be a constantly evolving process. But now you've looked outside of the traditional one-to-one business model that's in kind of your industry. What have you learned about yourself?
What have I learned about myself? I think I've learned that, I think one of the things I actually learned was, so for me, I've been I've become more aware that I've been almost a little bit hiding. So in terms of my visibility, and because I've always thought of myself as a relatively confident person, I didn't really fully understand it at first. And I think what I've learned about myself is that actually sometimes we can be held back by the fear of success. And that's been a big learning curve for me, because the fear of failure didn't really sit with me, because I worry about things not going well, but then I kind of know that every opportunity we learn from it, right? But the fear of success, when I started digging into that, that was really interesting for me, and just in trying to embrace that and embrace the uncertainty, I think. And just leaning into something when you feel nervous or anxious. I think anxiety and excitement can kind of be so closely linked.
Exactly. I love you talking about the fear of success, though, because a lot of people don't recognize that as an actual fear.
Absolutely.
But people can, if they actually look deep, can actually look at their behaviors and their actions and thoughts and realize that actually sometimes we can self-sabotage our own growth because we have this fear of success.
And I think we can really fear like not wanting ourselves. And I relate to this with women that I work with as well, of not wanting to be too much or too big or too, you know, we were even questioning at the beginning, do you introduce me as Jade or do you introduce me as Dr. Jade? Yeah. And it's like this idea, like not wanting to be too much or to evoke kind of too strong emotions in other people. And I think it's a common experience.
Yeah, it is. But great learnings. Now, Sarah, what about you? What have you learned about yourself on this journey so far?
Well, much like Jade, there's been a lot of mindset work that I've sort of explored there, and that's been really good. Again, self-sabotage, which I initially always thought I was scared of failing. I didn't want to try because I didn't want to fail. I didn't want people to say, oh, she did that and she failed. But was it like the success, being scared of being successful, being judged for being successful or whatever? So that was quite interesting to sort of explore that within myself, see actually what is it that I am scared of. I don't know, why do I self-sabotage, why do I get in my own way quite often, and also a lot of also money mindset stuff that we've explored, which has been very, very interesting.
Mindset is fascinating, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's never been an issue earning the money, but going goodbye. And it's just, well, how, why? And by exploring that and looking deeper within myself, that's been great and been a big learning curve. And actually, we've worked, my husband and I really have worked on that between us, and turned it round, and it's great, really great. So that was, definitely great on that front as well. So,
and you know, the thing is, you can have all the strategy in the world, but if your head is not in the right place, the strategy is worth nothing. So, you know, it is mindset needs to be in the right place to understand the strategy, to implement the strategy, and to get the benefit of the strategy. So it's really great actually that, you know, a lot of times when you can talk to people, they're straight on with the strategy and you're like, actually wind it back a little bit, is your mindset in the right place? So it's really great that you're, you know, both of you are actually working on that, and it'll be a continual evolving process, but just having the awareness that you have right now, you will never lose that awareness, and it will just grow and evolve the more that you get to know yourself and your own mindset. Ladies, thank you so much for sharing your story and your journey with our listeners today, because there will be people who are listening to this who are perhaps stuck in a one-to-one type business model, who are thinking, well, you know, what else can I do? There's nothing I can do. I'm kind of stuck in this business model. And just inspiring them to say, do you know what? There's lots of different opportunities out there. I mean, one of the things that I do find that is a bit of my natural jam is getting very creative on all the different ways that you can actually turn your business into loads and loads of different revenue streams if you just consider looking outside of the box, removing the blinkers, removing the way it's always been done, and starting to see what other opportunities. So I really appreciate you sharing your stories. Jay, before we go, I will be getting your show link. So people that are listening to this right now will be able to click straight down onto the show notes and get your links. But can you give us just one link now? Where could people go right now if they're listening to this just to connect with you or learn a bit more about you? Where's the first place to go to?
Yeah, so the first place probably to come find me would be on Facebook. So I've got a Facebook group that's now up and running, and it's called the Conscious Parent Group with Dr. Jade Redfern. Just come join me there.
And okay. Perfect. Make sure you get over there. And I say, if you want the link to that, it will be on the show notes right now. Sarah, for you, I know that by the time people are listening to this podcast, there will be a Facebook group. But right now, where's the main place to connect with Hounds at Home?
So probably currently the best place would be my website. So that's www.houndsathome.pet. And I'll keep all the links and everything up there, all my social links and everything up there.
I love how you can get links now like that, .pet. How perfect is that, huh? I love it. That's brilliant. So guys, please, if you listen to this today, wherever you are in the world and you're listening to this and you're like, I need to connect with either Jade or Sarah, please go straight to the show notes and connect with them and say hello and let them know that you listen to their podcast. All right. I really appreciate you joining me today. Have you enjoyed it, Jade and Sarah?
Yes, it's been good.
Yeah, thank you.
You're very welcome. And guys listening, please go and connect with them. Go and give them a bit of support. Go and get involved in their work. They both do amazing, amazing things. All right. So that is the end of one of our feature episodes for today. So I'm wishing you a wonderful rest of your day wherever you are in the world. And I will catch up with you on the next episode. Take care now. Bye-bye.